Okay, go with me, if you would, back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We just read where the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas out to a new group of believers. That's what we just read. The church heard about this brand new group that was pretty good ways out, and they sent Barnabas out to meet this group and preach to this group. Anytime you travel to a place where believers are gathered that you haven't met yet, you've heard about them, but you haven't personally met them yet. Anytime you travel out to a group of believers like that, it's an exciting thing. It's very, very exciting. There's a group of people who believe God's word and love it. And it's an exciting thing. And you're not really going out there to meet new acquaintances. You hear about people all the time, and you meet new people all the time, and you make their acquaintance. But you're not going out there to meet new acquaintances. You're going out there in hopes of meeting new siblings in Christ. That's your hope. Brand new siblings in Christ. Every sinner that God adopts into His family is just that. Adopted into His family. In the family of God. In Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. Isn't that something? Brothers and sisters. We are not just fellow believers. We're all coming together tonight because we all believe the same thing, and we're all fellow believers. But we're not just fellow believers. We're family. We are family in God's family. This past weekend, I went out. I traveled out as far as Springfield. I didn't go any farther than that. Barnabas went as far as Antioch. I went as far as Springfield. And when I got there, one of the families opened up their home. Saturday night, I traveled out there on Saturday. Got there about 5. One of the men picked me up at the airport and brought me to one of the family's homes. And when we got there, all the church was there. The whole church was already there. They all came out. We all had dinner together. It was delicious. It was absolutely delicious. We talked about some things. We got to know each other a little bit. We introduced ourselves and such on and so forth, and it took no time for us to go straight to the sweet fellowship and conversation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just went right to it. And I emphasize the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters out there are in love with a person, not just a doctrine. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that I can say we were all, as the Scripture says, in one accord. I believe that I saw the grace of God there. I believe I did. I believe I saw God's grace on some sinners out there. And I was glad. I was glad. I'm so glad I was able to go. I told them I couldn't wait to come back and tell you. I took a picture of them. I said, "You have a lot of brethren who'd love to see a picture of you. I'll show it to you." But I think back now on this trip, you know, just a few days ago, and I think about those brethren out there. And it has caused me to really ponder God's ministry. It has caused me to really think about God's ministry. The ministry of God's church all over this world. All of the local assemblies that collectively make up God's church. All of these little ministries. a local ministry goes through changes over time. I couldn't stop thinking that while I was out there. Hearing their experience, it just reminded me so much of this place, seeing where they are, and it made me think of the changes that have happened here. A local ministry goes through changes over time. It just does. And we pray that those changes are growth in grace, don't we? We pray that that's a huge change on a ministry. More grounded settledness in the faith. There's so many questions, so much turmoil over things. And what we hope and pray is that as time goes on, the Lord, through His Word, causes all of us to become more grounded, more settled. That's what we want for ourselves, isn't it? We pray that the fruits of the Spirit might become more evident over time. All of the fruits of God's Spirit, that they might just show more and more and more. We fear the opposite, don't we? A decline in grace. Wouldn't that be awful? A decline in patience and settledness, impatience, unsettledness. A lack of that urgency, that fervent spirit that we once had. After the infancy of a new ministry that God raises up, the local church does go through many changes, but one thing stays the same. This is what hit me while I was there, hit me as I think back on it this week. One thing stays the same. One thing stays the same. It never changes. Every local church all over this globe, one thing stays the same. It stays the same. It never, never changes. One thing. The ministry over there is 6 months old. All right? I believe the Lord impressed me through the messages to exhort them to something. There's something they need to do. It is the exact same thing that we need to do. It is the exact same thing that every ministry on this globe needs to do. It doesn't matter if a congregation is 6 months old, 6 years old, or 60 years old. Verse 22 right here says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." That never changes. Never. There is truly one thing needful in this life for a believer. One thing needful. We all feel the need. I need to do this. I need to do that. There is one thing needful. I don't have this. I don't have that. There is one thing needful. May the Lord allow us to let go of everything else and cleave unto the Lord. I mean cleave unto the Lord. That one thing is the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. Verse 23 says, "When he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, there are a few things that I want to emphasize in what he just said. And then I want us to see how we can do this, okay? Verse 23, he came, he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And it says he exhorted them all. He exhorted them all. I don't want to preach only. I don't want to only preach to the believers that are here. I don't know who they are. God knows. I don't know what God has done in the hearts of any of us. I beg him daily, keep me. Right? I don't want to only preach to the believers here. I want to warn. I want to exhort. I want to tell the truth. I want to do that. I don't want to only preach to the unbelievers here. I don't know who they are. God knows, but I don't want to only preach to the unbelievers here. One man made the statement a long time ago, we should never preach as though there are no unbelievers listening. We should never preach as though there are no lost sinners listening. And oh, do I agree with that. Man, do I agree with that. Don't ever preach as though there is not an unbeliever listening. But I'd like to add to that, may we never preach as though there's not a believer listening. I don't want to give any unbeliever a false hope. I don't. I also don't want to convince myself that I'm feeding sheep when really all I'm doing is whipping goats. I don't want to do that. It says he exhorted them all. He exhorted them all. I don't want to preach only to the middle-aged people. The old people got this. They've been hearing this all their life. They've heard it over and over and over. They don't need to hear it again. I don't need to tell that same old story. I don't need to make the gospel that simple. Let's harden it up. Let's go into something deep. They've heard it too much. Is that the truth? The young people are too young for this. They're too little for this. They can't understand this. They can't handle this. I think I'd like to let the Lord be the judge of that. He exhorted them all. Little girls, everybody hear me? This is what the word says. Cleave to the Lord. Does everybody hear that? You are not too young. You understand? You're not too old. You're not too young. Cleave to the Lord. Everybody. Everybody who has a soul, everybody who has a mind, everybody who has ears, cleave to the Lord. I'm about to tell us how we can do that. God showed mercy to John the Baptist in the womb. If God can do that, God can show mercy to anybody. Anybody. Little girls, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to the Lord. Verse 23 says, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart. Purpose of heart. Look with me at Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. True cleaving to the Lord is done with the heart. It's done with the heart. It's done on purpose. It's done with purpose in the heart. If the heart cleaves, the hands will follow. They just will. They will follow. But just because the hands cleave, just because the hands go through the religious motions, that doesn't mean the heart is cleaving. And if the heart is not cleaving, then I haven't laid hold of Christ. If the heart is not cleaving, I have not laid hold of Christ. The issue of life, the scripture says, is in the heart. God deals with the heart. He deals with the heart. Go with me back to Acts 11. Verse 23 says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. The object of our faith, the desire of our heart, is the man himself. It's the man himself. Our hearts are not cleaving to the doctrine of the man. I think I'll put a Selah right there. I'll have a moment of silence. That's where so many people miss it. That's where so many people miss Christ. That's where so many people miss Christ. That is where so many people miss Christ. Our hearts are not clinging to the doctrine of the man. You know that? Our hearts are not clinging to the truths that surround the man. Our hearts are clinging to the man himself. We are clinging to the man himself. I don't rest in what I believe. I rest in who I believe. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me. I don't believe I'm saved because I know that man is totally depraved and God elected a people and Christ only died for those people and such on and so forth. I believe that man came and put my sin on him and shed his blood and he said it's finished and I'm just trusting him. That's it. I know whom. I don't have any assurance that I have my doctrine right. None at all. My assurance is in that man. If my assurance is in that man, I'll have my doctrine right. If my assurance is in that man, then I will have my doctrine right. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, how do we in the heart, on purpose, cleave to the Lord? I wrote down five ways. It won't take long. I wrote down five ways in the heart, with purpose of heart, on purpose, we can cleave to the Lord. First, in the heart, let's cleave to his promise. Let's cleave to his promise. This is what he said. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Cleave to that. He said, if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. He said, when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. The flame is not going to hurt you. He said, you come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I promise I will give you rest. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This verse right here will sum up his promise. His promise. Look at John 6 with me. John 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that wonderful? I'll in no wise cast out. He exhorted them all, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to his promise. Secondly, in the heart, on purpose, with purpose, let's all cleave to his blood. Cleave to it. We are never going to see in ourselves what we need to see to have any hope and any assurance, any forgiveness, as long as we're looking into this flesh. We'll never see it. Never. I want to grow in grace. I do. I hope and I pray to grow in grace. I pray God would change me. I pray he would conform me more to his image. But I'll never find any hope or any assurance or any comfort or rest that I have forgiveness of sin as long as I'm looking to this flesh. Never. But look with me at Exodus 12. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see that blood, I'll pass over you. Cleave to that blood. Cleave to that blood. Thirdly, in the heart, cleave to his word, his written, this written word of God, this book of comfort that he's written for us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray the Lord would help me with this. I pray he would help me with this, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Too often, we preachers read the scriptures looking for an outline, not reading it for personal help and food. Too often, we read the scriptures looking for the outline that makes sense. Okay, got it. Boom, boom, boom. We need this word as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I've read this to you before, but I'll read it to you again. This is an article, author unknown. I don't know who wrote it. But it's a description of this word of God. It says, this book is the mind of God. Dwell on that for just a minute. This book is the mind of God. Who has known the mind of God? This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable, unchangeable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be godly. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity. What a word. What a word. He exhorted them all, cleave to the Lord, cleave to His promise, cleave to His blood, cleave to His word. Fourthly, let's all with purpose of heart, cleave to His worship. Cleave to His worship. If we would like to find true assurance, true hope, true comfort, if we would like to find an increase in faith, an increase in peace, let's all cleave to worshiping Him. I mean cleave to worshiping Him. David said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, unto Thy name give glory. Unto Thy name, worshiping Him with purpose of heart is not unto us, is it? It's not unto us. We just sang, this is our desire, we just sang, help us to forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. Help us to worship Him. We cleave to Him when we present ourselves before Him to worship Him. In Deuteronomy, he said, and I love this, he said, there is a place where I've chosen to put my name there. And he said, I want you to come to that place. In Isaiah 45, he said, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Assemble yourselves and come. Here's why. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. We can't wait to be in His presence, can we? We are in His presence. He's watching. He's listening. I'm right there with you. He said, when my people gather together, I'm right there with them. So the exhortation is, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to His worship. Here's the last way. The last way I wrote down. We can cleave to our Lord. Look over at Matthew 25 with me. Matthew 25, verse 34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Our Lord said, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love unto the brethren. Love one to another. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And when God's people cleave to each other, they're cleaving to Christ in each other. That's what draws us together. That's what unites us in love, Christ in us. So let's all on purpose. You know, sometimes we do things on purpose. I'm just going to have to do this on purpose, with purpose of heart. Purpose of heart. Let's all cleave to the Lord. Let's cleave to His promise. Let's cleave to His blood. Cleave to His word. Cleave to His worship. And cleave to His people. That's the exhortation that's never going to change. Never. Never. That's the need that's never going to go away. May the Lord enable us to do that. All right, let's all stand together.